Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to be drawing strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This is episode 1.4, God in the Day-to-Day, Fatherhood. The Bible passage for this episode is Galatians 4:1-7, and I'll read from the ESV, which is the English Standard Version. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The New Testament has a lot of references to God as our Father. Think about the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and so Jesus provided a template or a model for praying to God. That model prayer starts by referring to God as our Father in heaven. This was a radical departure for God's chosen people, the Jews. In the entire Old Testament, there are only two passages that use the word Father as a descriptor of God. Isaiah 63:16-17, and Isaiah 64:8-9. And there are only three other verses or passages that imply that God is a father. Deuteronomy 14:1-2, Psalm 103:13, and Jeremiah 31:20. That's it for the entire Old Testament. All five of these passages speak about God's fatherhood in a covenant context. That means he has chosen the Israelites as his children and will redeem them in spite of their sinfulness. But Jesus and the Apostle Paul spoke very differently about God as a father. In the New Testament, God is not just Father of the nation of Israel. He's your father and my father. He's our Abba, our daddy. Why does Paul talk about adoption in the Galatians passage that I read? Remember, Jews didn't adopt. If a man died, his brother automatically became the head of the household for his dead brother. But for Roman citizens such as Paul, adoption was a big thing. Roman parents could disown a biological child pretty much any time they wanted to. But if they adopted a child, they could never disown him. The adopted child received a new identity. Any prior commitments, responsibilities, and debts were erased. And he took on new rights and responsibilities. Those rights included being an heir. And that started immediately in the Roman world. The adopted son shared all his father's possessions and was fully united to him. Adoption by God sounds great, doesn't it? It is great. But still, thinking about God as your father may be tough for you if your earthly father abandoned you and your mom, or was abusive, or neglected you. In the film Parenthood, Frank hasn't been a terrible dad to his four kids, but he hasn't been a good one either. He's been a workaholic who puts his own interests first, ahead of those of his kids. Gil, the older of Frank's two sons, decided early on that he'd be a better father than his dad was. But Gil's three kids are a mess, and the stress of his home life is making a mess at his workplace too. In this scene from Parenthood, Frank, who faces a dilemma with his younger son, Larry, approaches Gil to ask his advice. Warning, there's a bit of salty language in this scene.
What's up?
I need your advice.
Wait a second, my head is spinning.
Come on. Larry needs $26,000, or gamblers are going to kill him.
Jesus.
I'm supposed to decide whether to give it to him.
And you want my advice? Why me? Why now?
Because I know you think I was a shitty father. Thank you for not arguing. And I know you're a good father, so tell me, what would you do?
You got that kind of money?
I got it. It's gonna hurt. I wanted to retire next year. This will put that off for a while. A long while. I never should have had four. You know, when you were 2 years old, we thought you had polio. You know about that?
Yeah, Mom once said something.
Yeah, well, for a week, we didn't know. I hated you for that.
What?
I did. I hated having to go through that, caring. Worrying, pain. That's not for me. And you know, it's not like that all ends when you're 18 or 21 or 41 or 61. It never, never ends. It's like your Aunt Edna's ass. It goes on forever and it's just as frightening.
It's true.
There is no end zone. You never cross the goal line, spike the ball, and do your touchdown dance. Never. I'm 64. Larry's 27. And he's still my son. Like Kevin is your son. You think I want him to get hurt? He's my son.
Frank is right. Fatherhood never ends. It's a tough job with a ton of responsibility and uncertain outcomes. Look at the parable of the prodigal son. The father in that story is God, and both of his sons turn out pretty rotten. But your role as a father is vital. It's vital. I could argue that it's the most important job you have and will ever have. A few years ago, I interviewed Joel Schaefer, who runs Urban Transformation Ministries in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Joel said that fatherlessness is one of our top national social issues, and he gave some stats to back it up. Kids growing up without a father are, get this, 2 times more likely to commit suicide, 2 times more likely to drop out of high school, 4 times more likely to live in poverty, 9 times more likely to be raped or sexually abused, 20 times more likely to become incarcerated. Girls without a dad are 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. Just by being present for your kids, even part of the time, you can have a huge impact on their lives. And one of the most important things that you can model for your children is your faith. A few decades ago, there was a detailed study conducted on the impact of parents' church attendance on the future church attendance of their children. This was in Europe. It was a while ago, and I understand church attendance is not a perfect metric for faith, but still, the results are surprising. Let's consider kids whose fathers never went to church, but their mothers attended regularly. How many of the kids became regular worshipers when they reached adulthood? 2%. 2 out of 100. What about the reverse? What about kids whose mothers never went to church, but their fathers attended regularly? How many of these kids became regular worshipers? 44%. 44 out of 100. A British publication, Evangelical Now, reported similar findings. When a mom comes to faith first, only a small percentage of families see the rest of the family members coming to faith as a result. When a dad comes to faith first, however, over 90% of families report that everyone in the family started a faith journey as a result. Being a father is a tough job that never ends. Dads get a lot of criticism and few kudos. But God honors and blesses the efforts of fathers who pursue their high calling by relying on and trusting in their Heavenly Father. Hang in there, Dad. Next week, I'll talk about fear and anxiety. I hope you'll join me for that. Please consider picking up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men as a resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.